Tractate 17. John 5. 1-18. Part 1. It ought not to be a matter of wonder that a miracle was wrought by God, the wonder would be if man had wrought it. Rather ought we to rejoice than wonder that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was made man, than that he performed divine works among men. It is of greater importance to our salvation what he was made for men, than what he did among men. It is more important that he healed the faults of souls, than that he healed the weaknesses of mortal bodies. But as the soul knew not him by whom it was to be healed, and had eyes in the flesh whereby to see corporeal deeds, but had not yet sound eyes in the heart with which to recognize him as God concealed in the flesh, he wrought what the soul was able to see, in order to heal that by which it was not able to see. He entered a place where lay a great multitude of sick folk of blind, lame, withered, and being the physician both of souls and bodies, and having come to heal all the souls of them that should believe, of those sick folk he chose one for healing, thereby to signify unity. If in doing this we regard him with a commonplace mind, with the mere human understanding and wit, as regards power it was not a great matter that he performed, and also as regards goodness he performed too little. There lay so many there, and yet only one was healed, whilst he could by a word have raised them all up. What, then, must we understand but that the power and the goodness was doing what souls might, by his deeds, understand for their everlasting salvation, than what bodies might gain for temporal health? For that which is the real health of bodies, and which is looked for from the Lord, will be at the end, in the resurrection of the dead. What shall live then shall no more die, what shall be healed shall no more be sick, what shall be satisfied shall no more hunger and thirst, what shall be made new shall not grow old. But at this time, however, the eyes of the blind, that were opened by those acts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, were again closed in death, and limbs of the paralytics that received strength were loosened again in death, and whatever was for a time made whole in mortal limbs came to naught in the end, but the soul that believed passed to eternal life. Accordingly, to the soul that should believe, whose sins he had come to forgive, to the healing of whose ailments he had humbled himself, he gave a significant proof by the healing of this impotent man. Of the profound mystery of this thing and this proof, so far as the Lord deigns to grant us, while you are attentive and citing our weakness by prayer, I will speak as I shall have ability. And whatever I am not able to do, that will be supplied to you by him by whose help I do what I can. Of this pool, which was surrounded with five porches, in which lay a great multitude of sick folk, I remember that I have very often treated, and most of you will with me recollect what I am about to say, rather than gain the knowledge of it for the first time. But it is by no means unprofitable to go back upon matters already known, that both they who know not may be instructed, and they who do know may be confirmed. Therefore, as being already known, these things must be touched upon briefly, not leisurely inculcated. That pool and that water seem to me to have signified the Jewish people. For that peoples are signified under the name of waters, the Apocalypse of John clearly indicates to us, where, after he had been shown many waters, and he had asked what they were, was answered that they were peoples. That water, then namely, that people was shut in by the five books of Moses, as by five porches. But those books brought forth the sick, not healed them. For the law convicted, not acquitted sinners. Accordingly the letter, without grace, made men guilty, whom on confessing grace delivered. For this is what the apostle saith, for if a law had been given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Why, then, was the law given? He goes on to say, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. What more evident? Have not these words expounded to us both the five porches, and also the multitude of sick folk? The five porches are the law. Why did not the five porches heal the sick folk? Because, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Why, then, did the porches contain those whom they did not heal? Because the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. What was done, then, that they who could not be healed in the porches might be healed in that water after being troubled? For on a sudden the water was seen troubled, and that by which it was troubled was not seen. Thou mayest believe that this was wont to be done by angelic virtue, yet not without some mystery being implied. After the water was troubled, the one who was able cast himself in, and he alone was healed. Whoever went in after that one, did so in vain. What, then, is meant by this, unless it be that there came one, even Christ, to the Jewish people, and by doing great things, by teaching profitable things, troubled sinners, troubled the water by his presence, and roused it towards his own death. But he was hidden that troubled. For had they known him, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Wherefore, to go down into the troubled water means to believe in the Lord's death. There only one was healed, signifying unity. Whoever came thereafter was not healed, because whoever shall be outside unity cannot be healed. Now let us see what he intended to signify in the case of that one whom he himself, keeping the mystery of unity, as I said before, deigned to heal out of so many sick folk. He found in the number of this man's years the number, so to speak, of infirmity. He was 38 years in infirmity. How this number refers more to weakness than to health must be somewhat more carefully expounded. I wish you to be attentive, the Lord will aid us, so that I may fitly speak, and that you may sufficiently hear. The number 40 is commended to our attention as one consecrated by a kind of perfection. This, I suppose, is well known to you, beloved. The Holy Scriptures very often testify to the fact. Fasting was consecrated by this number, as you are well aware. For Moses fasted 40 days, and Elias as many, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did himself fulfill this number of fasting. By Moses is signified the law, by Elias, the prophets, by the Lord, the gospel. It was for this reason that these three appeared on that mountain, where he showed himself to his disciples in the brightness of his countenance and vesture. For he appeared in the middle, between Moses and Elias, as the gospel had witness from the law and the prophets. Whether, therefore, in the law, or in the prophets, or in the gospel, the number 40 is commended to our attention in the case of fasting. Now fasting, in its large and general sense, is to abstain from the iniquities and unlawful pleasures of the world, which is perfect fasting, that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and righteously and godly in this present world. What reward does the apostle join to this fast? He goes on to say, looking for that blessed hope, and the appearing of the glory of the blessed God, and our Savior Jesus Christ. In this world, then, we celebrate, as it were, the 40 days abstinence, when we live aright, and abstain from iniquities and from unlawful pleasures. But because this abstinence shall not be without reward, we look for that blessed hope, and the revelation of the glory of the great God, and of our Savior Jesus Christ. In that hope, when the reality of the hope shall have come to pass, we shall receive our wages, a penny, denarius. For the same is the wages given to the workers laboring in the vineyard, as I presume you remember, for we are not to repeat everything, as if to persons wholly ignorant and inexperienced. A denarius, then, which takes its name from the number 10, is given, and this joined with the 40 makes up 50, whence it is that before Easter we keep the quadridecima with labor, But after Easter we keep the quinquagesima with joy, as having received our wages. Now to this, as if to the wholesome labor of a good work, which belongs to the number 40, there is added the denarius of rest and happiness, that it may be made the number 50. The Lord Jesus himself showed this also far more openly, when he companied on earth with his disciples during 40 days after his resurrection, and having on the 40th day ascended into heaven, did at the end of 10 days send the wages, the Holy Ghost. These were done in signs, and by a kind of signs were the very realities anticipated. By significant tokens are we fed, that we may be able to come to the enduring realities. We are workmen, and are still laboring in the vineyard. When the day is ended and the work finished, the wages will be paid. But what workman can hold out to the receiving of the wages, unless he be fed while he labors? Even thou thyself wilt not give thy workman only wages, wilt thou not also bestow on him that wherewith he may repair his strength in his labor? Surely thou feedest him to whom thou art to give wages. In like manner also doth the Lord, in those significant tokens of the Scriptures, feed us while we labor. For if that joy in understanding holy mysteries be withdrawn from us, we faint in labor, and there will be none to come to the reward. How, then, is work perfected in the number 40? The reason, it may be, is, because the law was given in 10 precepts, and was to be preached throughout the whole world, which whole world, we are to mark, is made up of 4 quarters, east and west, south and north, whence the number 10, multiplied by 4, comes to 40. Or, it may be, because the law is fulfilled by the gospel, which has 4 books, for in the gospel it is said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Whether, then, it be for this reason or for that, or for some other more probable, which is hid from us, but not from more learned men, certain it is, however, that in the number 40 a certain perfection in good works is signified, which good works are most of all practiced by a kind of abstinence from unlawful lusts of the world, that is, by fasting in the general sense. Here also the Apostle when he says, love is the fulfilling of the law. Whence the love? By the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. For we could not have it from ourselves, as if making it for ourselves. It is the gift of God, and a great gift it is, for, saith he, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Wherefore love completes the law, and most truly it is said, love is the perfecting of the law. Let us inquire as to this love, in what manner the Lord doth commend it to our consideration. Remember what I laid down, I want to explain the number 38 of the years of that impotent man, why that number 38 is one of weakness rather than of health. Now, as I was saying, love fulfills the law. The number 40 belongs to the perfecting of the law in all works, but in love 2 precepts are committed to our keeping. Keep before your eyes, I beseech you, and fix in your memory, what I say, be you not despisers of the word, that your soul may not become a trodden path, where the seed cast cannot sprout, and the fowls of the air will come and gather it up. Apprehend it, and lay it up in your hearts. The precepts of love, given to us by the Lord, are 2, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. With good reason did the widow cast 2 mites, all her substance, into the offerings of God, with good reason did the host take 2 pieces of money, for the poor man that was wounded by the robbers, for his making whole. With good reason did Jesus spend 2 days with the Samaritans, to establish them in love. Thus, whilst a certain good thing is generally signified by this number 2, most especially is love in its 2-fold character set forth to us thereby. If, Therefore, the number 40 possesses the perfecting of the law, and the law is fulfilled only in the twin precepts of love. Why dost thou wonder that he was weak and sick, who was short of 40 by 2? Therefore let us now see the sacred mystery whereby this impotent man is healed by the Lord. The Lord himself came, the teacher of love, full of love, shortening, as it was predicted of him, the word upon the earth, and showed that the law and the prophets hang on two precepts of love. Upon these hung Moses with his number 40, upon these Elias with his, and the Lord brought in this number in his testimony. This impotent man is healed by the Lord in person, but before healing him, what does he say to him? Wilt thou be made whole? The man answered that he had not a man to put him into the pool. Truly he had need of a man to his healing, but that man one who is also God. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He came, then, the man who was needed. Why should the healing be delayed? Arise, saith he, take up thy bed, and walk. He said three things: arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that arise was not a command to do a work, but the operation of healing. And the man, on being made whole, received two commands: take up thy bed, and walk. I ask you, why was it not enough to say, walk? Or, at any rate, why was it not enough to say, arise? For when the man had arisen whole, he would not have remained in the place. Would it not be for the purpose of going away that he would have arisen? My impression is, that he who found the man lacking two things, gave him these two precepts, for, by ordering him to do two things, it is as if he filled up that which was lacking.